Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This sermon is for the week of March 31st, 2024. It's Easter Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. The call to worship is from 1 Peter Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 from the NIV Reader's Version. Give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth and a hope that is alive. It is alive because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He has given us new birth so that we might share in what belongs to Him. It is a gift that can never be destroyed. It can never spoil or even fade away. It is kept in heaven for you. Praise the Lord. This message is entitled The Promise of the Empty Tomb, Part 1. Let me begin by reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. John 20, 1 to 18 from the New Living Translation. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and he went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who'd reached the tomb first went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said, Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And she gave them his message. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Even though Jesus had tried to prepare his disciples for his death, they are understandably devastated by it. News of the empty tomb only added to their pain that their friend, who had been so giving to others, would be treated with such indignity. Who had stolen his body? They had believed Jesus was the Messiah, the one promised by God, but none of this fit into their understanding of the scriptures concerning the Messiah. As they gathered that first Sunday evening in a locked room, 10 of the remaining 11 disciples and other followers of Jesus, they were trying to make sense of what had happened that day. At dawn, word came that the tomb was empty and Jesus' body was gone, but the grave clothes were still there. Who would unwrap a body before stealing it? It didn't make sense. In addition, some among them said they had seen and talked with Jesus today. What were they to make of all this? We heard earlier from John 20, 1-18. Listen now to verses 19 to 23. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The risen Jesus is standing there among them. He is not a ghost, for he invites them to touch him. And Luke 24, 36 to 49 also says he invites them to give him something to eat, and he eats some of the roasted fish they had. He is not someone who survived crucifixion and then crawled out of the tomb. He's not bloodied and beaten. He's in a resurrected body, yet with visible scars of crucifixion. Jesus had died. There was no doubt about that. The Roman soldiers under Governor Pilate's instruction had made 100% sure of that before they released his body for burial. They had shoved the spear up his side and saw the fluid pour out. The blood was already separating. This man was dead. This man was dead. The body that was placed in the tomb was dead. Now, this person standing before them on Sunday evening is very much alive. As the disciples' eyes were opened to see that the scriptures showed that the Messiah would have to suffer and die, they also searched the scriptures to understand what Jesus' resurrection meant. They discovered that it meant that God had accepted Jesus' sinless offering of himself. This was the focus of Peter's first sermon as he showed this from the scriptures. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 32. This was what Peter said. "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him," and here he's quoting from Scripture, "I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence." That's the end of his quote. Verse 29, Peter says, "Dear brothers, think about this. you can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Powerful words from the Apostle Peter. The empty tomb tells us Jesus defeated death, and lasting peace is possible. If we accept our need for God's forgiveness of our sins, and that Jesus is the only means we can be forgiven by God, then we can receive the promised peace. This peace is peace of the heart, not a peace dependent on external circumstances. This is an inner peace, a gift from God. This peace is multifaceted. Today we are going to look at two aspects of this God-given peace which results from the empty tomb, and the following week we'll look at two more. First of all, peace with God. We are offered peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." The Apostle Paul, in the previous chapters, has shown that all of humanity is sinful. In the previous chapters of Romans, he's shown that all of humanity is sinful and could do nothing on its own to remove the curse of sin. It is only as we place our faith and trust in the promises of God and receive his righteousness that we can be at peace with God. Now, how is this peace with God possible? As we place our faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us through his death on the cross and his resurrection. Jesus paid the price for our sin through his death in my place. Although being sinless, he did not deserve death. Now, what does peace with God mean? What does peace with God mean? Paul says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 2. And the Greek word that Paul uses to describe what Jesus has done for us has two pictures. The first is illuminated in the above translation, and pictures being brought into the presence of royalty. And this term was commonly used to describe a worshiper approaching God. Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, into God's presence. Jesus has made it possible for us to come into God's presence to experience his grace and kindness through what he did on our behalf, living a sinless life, dying on the cross in our place, and rising from the dead. The second usage of the Greek word is to describe a safe harbor, a haven for ships when storms threatened. they would go into this place, this harbor, to be protected from the storm. And this pictures the person who accepts the words of Jesus being brought safely into the grace and presence of Almighty God. Peace with God. Jesus has made it possible for us to come into God's presence safely, experiences grace. And this leads us to a second aspect of peace that we experience through accepting Jesus as our sin forgiver, it's our Savior, and our life leader, our Lord. This second aspect is the peace of God. Jesus has made it possible for us to have peace with God. And the empty tomb also demonstrates that it's possible to experience the peace of God. In the hours before his arrest, Jesus promised his troubled disciples the gift of peace, peace of heart and mind, not like the world offers, but a peace from God, based on knowing that Jesus has overcome the world. Peace is the gift of Jesus. Now, reviewing these words of Jesus in the context of his victory over the grave gives them life-changing power. Jesus said, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." John 14:27. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." The prophet Isaiah foretold that God's promised one would be known for bringing peace. Isaiah chapter 9, the second half of verse 6 and the beginning of verse 7 says, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end." The Apostle Paul, when writing from prison to one of his concerned congregations, tells them the secret to inner peace in the midst of outward turmoil, and that is God's peace through Christ Jesus. That's the secret. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, he writes, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Easter is more than bunnies and the coming of spring. Easter points to the possibility of new life within, of an inner peace that cannot be robbed by unforeseen circumstances. This peace is not something we can save for, or buy, or work for. This peace from God and peace with God I'm describing comes as a gift to those humble enough to accept it. This peace only comes to those honest enough to admit that their attempts to manufacture the peace they so long for have failed. And this peace only comes to those willing to make peace with God through accepting his only Son, Jesus Christ, as their sin forgiver and life leader. Have you done this? Doing this, accepting Jesus as God's Son, his only Son, as your sin forgiver and life leader, you will receive the true gift of Easter, the promise of the empty tomb, and that is peace with God and the peace of God. Let me close with excerpts from Peter's sermon as he was in Cornelius' house and he spoke to Cornelius and those that he had invited. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 36 and 42 to 43. Peter then said to them, I am now certain that God treats all people alike. God is pleased with everyone who worships him and does right, no matter what nation they come from. And this is the same message that God gave to the people of Israel when he sent Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, to offer peace to them. God told us to announce clearly to the people that Jesus is the one he's chosen to judge the living and the dead. Every one of the prophets has said that all who have faith in Jesus will have their sins forgiven in his name. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The empty tomb tells us that God the Father has accepted what Jesus the Son has done on our behalf. And he died for your sin and for mine. We need then to accept that gift of forgiveness through being willing to acknowledge we are sinners in need of it. And then we will begin to experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for joining us today. Let me close with our benediction from Colossians chapter 3, beginning of 15, 16, and 17. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking. Let the teaching of Christ live in you richly. Let everything you do or say be done to obey Jesus, your Lord. And in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Have a blessed Easter. Goodbye.